This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And welcome to a brand new series. Something a little more fun, a little more action-packed, a little more for the masses, per se. It's a series you can't go wrong with. I feel like it's a subgenre that everybody gets a kick out of. It's particularly pretty popular, like, you know, in West, like here in the States. We see a lot of particularly comedy versions of these movies, right? I'm very interested to see kind of what Asian movies kind of do. I think, you know, Korea, like we talked about, there's a lot of crime and like
gangster
stuff.
Cops. And
so it kind of, it fits within the well-rounded nature of what they do. But for other places, not so common. Maybe more in China, but like I would think like old school, like Hong Kong films, because you have like Police Story and like stuff like that, right? But I think particularly today, we don't see a lot of that coming out, I guess, out of other Asian countries. So it should be I think interesting series as we go down. But this particular week, we are kicking it off with, I feel like we kicked it off too high, because personally, I love this movie.
Yeah.
This week we watched Midnight Runners. This came out in 2017. It's directed by
Jason.
Joo Hwang Kim?
Yeah.
Jason.
Is that Jason?
No. I didn't see it, Jason.
Oh, okay.
I think this guy's Korean through and through. Yeah. This movie, I probably didn't even have to watch this movie again for the podcast. Like, that's probably how many times we've seen this movie in my household. This movie gets like quoted and memed on regularly at home.
Really?
Yeah. We love this movie. we love this movie a lot.
What do you quote from it?
Maybe like the yeah.
I'm imitating
the thing. It's just such a head nod. Man.
Those stuff.
Hiya.
It's like, I don't know if that's works. Really imitating.
You want to fight? Mean,
I don't think that's really a quote.
It's a meme. We meme on it. I don't think I was the one that found this movie. I think my father was the one that found this movie originally. And I think we just watched it on, online. I think we just were kind of like looking for movies, and then we just stumbled upon this one. And it's pretty funny. It really just checks all the boxes of like what you want in an entertaining movie, you know, as like blockbuster, quote unquote. It's just a well-rounded movie in general. Yeah, after that, it was just kind of like an instant hit in our hearts, and we watch it like pretty semi-regularly now. Nice. So, yeah, this is definitely a movie that like I recommend to a lot of people. You know, like, oh yeah, you got to see this movie. Like, this is definitely one of the bangers to see if somebody hasn't watched a foreign film before, or is somebody that's like maybe into K-dramas but hasn't really seen like Korean movies. You know, any of that sense. This is one that is like a really good, like, safe option to kind of, it's like a gateway movie. So
yeah, I mean, the story is very simple. Characters are very clear cut. And, you know, this genre, I think, is so prevalent in, you know, especially America. So
right.
It's not that hard to get into. Like, it's really easy. Even if you have a hard time, like, reading subtitles, I think you can still understand.
100%.
Easily.
It's also not very, like, culturally specific, or like very heavy on counting on you to understand, like, you know, Korean culture, like language, or how like the police system works over there, or because like a lot of that's kind of fed to you as the movie goes along, or it's simplified enough for you to get it. I think it does a really good job of,
it's fairly common sense, right?
It's not
like it's any, it's not that different in like let's say America.
We're cops, we bring justice.
Yeah.
You know, and also when it goes, you know, into the more darker side of like the criminal world, like all that's pretty brought up to speed really well as well, of like understanding like what is even, you know, their operation and what they're doing and things of that nature. So it all really holds your hand nicely, you know, but not too close, I would say, as well. There's a lot of show and doesn't tell. It's really good. I mean, like I said, it's not a complicated film, and it's a really good one.
Yeah. Sure.
How was your experience? You said you have seen this before? Probably
maybe. I thought I didn't, but I did. So,
like, this rings a bell again.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of kind of movies like this in Korea. So, like, they sometimes blend in with each other. But yeah, watching it again, I definitely remembered a lot of the scenes and a lot of the moments. And yeah, fun movie.
Through and through. Fun movie.
Yeah.
Some good names, some pretty good cast members as well. Like, it's pretty safe names. One of the main characters, so the guy that plays Ki Jung Park Soo Jung, who is in Parasite, right?
Park Soo Jung, yeah.
Yeah, he was in the.
He was a cameo.
It was cameo?
Yeah. He is a friend.
Oh, he was a friend?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was a cameo friend.
Got it.
For the brother. For, like,
yeah.
He's the one who gave him the.
He's the one that set up the whole damn thing. Yeah. Apparently, this was his like first lead role in a movie before.
In a movie, yeah. He probably did a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I looked at brothers like a bunch of TV credits. But everybody else is pretty nice. The guy who plays the teacher, Sung Dong-il, like him. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he comes out in a lot of stuff.
He's pretty good. It's funny that you see like. Because, like I said, there is just so many like, cops and crime drama and gangster stuff. So many actors just get typecast into, like, you're the police guy.
Yeah.
You're the gangster.
He actually plays a very diverse set of roles. He's pretty good. He does a wide range of different roles, so it's pretty cool to see him in different movies.
As long as he doesn't get Chris Evans, you know?
Nah.
I'm like, guys, Chris Evans has talent. Don't doubt him. He's not just Captain America, guys.
I think it's harder for those kinds of characters, like hero characters, or just like these, you know, big buff dudes. It kind of makes it harder for them to fit into different things because, you know, people see them in a certain light.
Right.
They have such a...
The hero role is just so, like, iconic. You know, it's hard to kind of get out of that box.
Right.
After too long.
Mm.
So, especially like I said, if they're like a muscular character.
Right. But even like Tobey Maguire, right? Like, it's like,
right.
You always think of him as Spider-Man more than anything else.
Right.
There's
right.
always like behind, like, beyond the back of your mind, you're a little bit like,
but he's
Spider-Man. You know what I mean?
I don't care if he's doing that.
He's like in a drama, like, film, and you're like,
when is he gonna
go back to the back alley and, like, you know, rip up his shirt and you know?
I think maybe the one actor that's actually done a pretty decent job of breaking out of the show would be, and I guess it's not part of really him either, like Henry Cavill. Superman, but also just because like DC has ripped apart.
Yeah, but he plays a lot of like. Hero-esque.
That's true, yeah.
Characters, too. Or, like, it's either heroes or, like, special agents or something like that. True, right? Yeah, like, he plays very... It's still...
They're pretty fairly, similar. Yeah. They're different, like, in and of themselves, but peeling it back, they're all kind of the same.
You never see him, like, play, like, an old... like, a professor or, like...
Oh, yeah.
Or some kind of, like,
yeah,
you know...
Yeah.
Less physical character. You know, it's that's usually true. Very physical character, but of a slightly different vein.
Right.
But usually pretty similar.
That's true.
Which is, you know, I feel like he does have, you know, pretty good, you know, acting chops. And I think, like, they cast him pretty well in, like, Witcher and stuff, too.
Sure.
But, like I said, even Witcher is kind of like that's a within hero the thing. Yeah, so it's like...
Anti-hero, whatever. Yeah. You still got there. Like, I really liked him. I think... People sleep on him on Mission Impossible. Like, he does a really good job in that role.
Yeah. I would say, like, Tom Hardy would be somebody who can play a lot of different things. And sometimes I don't even realize it's him. Like,
true.
You know what I mean?
I forget, like, I mean, he's, you know, Bane, obviously, but it's in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, he was Bane. Like,
he also played Venom.
Yep.
Right? Like, I mean, he does those hero stuff, but I guess it's a little bit easier if you're, like, the villain. Right, it's not as like, and then usually he's like changing, right? He's not like fully his face all the time. So that kind of helps.
You're like, is that Tom Hardy back there?
Like Christian Bale is like a person who I like don't think of him as like the Dark Knight always.
Right.
He would be like an actor that I would be like, oh, like he's really like.
That's an actor.
Yeah, I mean, he's really like, he has a lot of range, but I think that's also a testament to just how much he's willing to transform his body for different roles.
He's such a, and like, knowing like Christian Bale, just like seeing him, it's just funny, like, you know, they take on the roles that they'll take, they'll, you know, do anything, but like, man, you think Christian Bale and then you're like American Psycho, like,
yeah.
But then you go from that to being like,
Dick Cheney.
Yeah, Dick Cheney and like Ford versus Ferrari. Like, it's the same guy. It's so weird.
And then, he does Love and Thunder, the God Butcher or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The God Butcher.
Yeah.
And even seeing that, it was just
Gore,
like,
right?
Gore. Yeah, yeah. Even in that role, he just is capable of doing so much. But I feel like if I met him on the street, I would have never think of him as somebody being.
It depends on how much weight he has on that day. Like, oh,
am I gaining another 100 pounds or am I losing 200? I don't know, but yeah. What were we talking about again? This is a different kind of podcast, huh?
Yeah. So.
Midnight Runners. Oh yeah. It's good movie. It's like not super dated. It came out 2017. There's been a couple of other iterations. Apparently there's like an Indian remake that came out in 2020. Also in 2020, there's a TV drama that was made called Detective Novice Midnight Runner.
Is that like Korean one or?
Yeah, it's a K-drama. Yeah. I think tried watching it, but it wasn't that great. maybe made it like an episode or two. But not the same. I don't know what else to like say, but like it's a really just good, enjoyable movie. I think this time around when I was watching it, just kind of like thinking about what I could pick up after so many viewings and like maybe what I could appreciate, just like it's one of those cases where, like I said, it's a good solid movie, and that like a lot of it comes down to performances, like the script, like everything just feels really, really tight. I kept going back and forth between like watching the movie and seeing like the timeline of like how far along I am in the movie. Cause it's I feel like you can really notice how good and like tight a script is like seeing where certain events and like plot points and changes kind of happen at certain time periods along the movie. You know, a lot of that goes to credit of like setting up the movie and like setting up the world and the characters and then like going into the plot. Like right at the 30-minute mark is like the first 30 minutes is really like all set up. And right at the 30-minute mark is when the girl gets kidnapped, like to a T. And then that like kicks off the, you know, like the plot of the movie. But it was so interesting to see like half an hour is a long time, right? But like I never felt bored or like lost my way in like world building and like setting up to like kind of kick off the movie per se. Yeah. You know?
I think even like the first 10 minutes of the movie, you get the characterization of the two characters right away.
Right, right.
Like even the very first scene when they're all saying goodbye to their parents or whatever. Mm. Like just like how they act towards, you know, how they are with their parents, or like their reactions and stuff, like really tell a lot about their character. And like it's a lot of like just showing us who they are, right, through the interactions that they have, which is I think a really good way of, you know, showing that. Also like when they're cutting their hair, right, and just their interactions while they're doing that, all add to the characterization during that 30 minutes that I think is really, really effective.
Yeah. And, I mean, this movie does a great job of like tying knots and like keeping to those characteristics, right? Like with, Hee-yul is like, you know, he's super kind of academic and very like, did you sterilize that?
Yeah.
And these are the kind of like jokes and just characteristics that keep company along with the movie, you know, and they're always familiar and never forgotten as the movie continues on from start to finish, you know? And there's a lot of, like, bits and things that come full circle to later part. And, like, that just kind of adds to, like, the feeling of completeness that the movie has. And I think that just also contributes to, you know, the solidity that I felt with the movie at the end of the day, you know? It, like, it's just a feeling of nothing being wasted. And if that can sometimes maybe be hard to do in a movie, because it can be easily lost when telling a story to, like, draw up something and then forget about it midway, or, like, pick up pieces and kind of leave them behind by the end, you know? But there's so much to say about, like, a
full... Or sometimes it could also feel, like, artificial. Like, it could feel like it's manufactured. Like I'm putting this scene in so that I can do this, right?
Right.
I can achieve this kind of, you know, moment. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, everything felt very... you know, very natural in one sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's very tight, but then that tightness doesn't make it feel like it's just, I gotta get from point A to point B.
Right. Yeah, everything does fall pretty naturally from,
yeah, like in sequence. It seems like they're, you know, kind of like living their lives and stumbling upon a certain, you know, mystery, and then certain, you know, things happen, and they're like, naturally compelled to do things, rather than it feeling like, oh, the story has to go on, so let's push them this direction.
Right. And, like, I think that adds to what I was saying earlier when I was bringing up, like, why it takes, you know, there's 30 minutes of just building up and then we finally kind of get the story going. Like, that doesn't feel, you know, artificial, or like this, the kidnapping or anything was, like, forced, or like for them to, you know, start investigating and be contributed feels forced. Like, it all kind of falls naturally in. But I think that has a lot to do with how well we know the characters by that point, you know?
Yeah.
And then we can start believing all the wild shit that they do later to solve this murder, you know?
Yeah, like, the whole reason why they went out for that, you know, leave was to find, like, girls. And then...
I'm trying to get lucky tonight.
Right. Like, they sold that well enough so that, like, that whole part when they're, like, chasing after the girl makes sense. And, like, their friendship all makes sense. And then even though, you know, it's, like, very, in one sense, like, very over the top when they're, like, doing the rock, paper, scissors and the girls in the middle and
they don't see everything behind them. Yeah.
But, like, it still works in that vein.
Right. And a lot of that, you know, in the Academy stuff, is really kind of ammo to be used for the rest of the movie, because obviously they apply everything that they've learned into the Academy into practice when they're looking for this girl. And like I said, none of that, I mean, all that really adds to completely, like, all that ends up coming back, and like we see the application of it later. And so it really kind of fills up the rest of the movie and gives you like constant satisfaction of, oh yeah, we got to use, like, when it's like, okay, we should use the, what is it, the three steps of like investigation or whatever, and he's like, yeah totally, sure, and he's like, find the evidence, look at the crime scene, and look into something else.
It's like the, like, personal belongings, and it's like, find out like the identity of the person, and then find out the location, the crime scene.
And he was like, and then there's like a moment of pause. He's like,
I was like, oh,
He was like, shit,
test.
and even like after that, so when they go back and they're doing it, and you know, they only have, like, they can only go back to the crime scene because they don't know the victim, they don't have evidence until they go back and they look for the tteokbokki stand, and then they're like kind of at their wit's end because there's like 30 tteokbokki stands all around town and they struggling to find the right one, and they're like, you know, they have that moment of like, ah, that we can't do this, like, everybody's gonna close, like, it's too late. And then Ki-jun brings up, he's like, oh, this might be a bad time to mention it, but he was like, you know what, I put down for that test, he's like passion, tenacity, and like a big heart.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's like an out of their comment. And then they laugh. But
that kind of spurs them on to, like,
continue the search, right? So that was something that I noticed this time around. I was like, oh, that's smartly placed and like strategically placed right, there.
Because it's such a like typical like, you know, feel good answer.
Right, right.
But in that moment, that's kind of what they needed more than just like the logical step by step things.
But it's also not like shoehorned either, right? Because it's a direct reference to some to like a moment that they've been recalling during that whole time. So
And like one thing that I think I realized, not just by watching this movie, but just the genre in general, like buddy cop movie, for it to be good, like the two characters have to have really good chemistry. And the two characters also have to have a kind of almost binary, like they have to be complementary, but they also have to have their own like strong identity.
Yes.
And in this movie, you can clearly see that the two characters have very different, you know, ways of looking at and approaching life. And I think that also complements them when they're, you know, doing the investigation. Yeah. For example, like obviously the example that we mentioned where the Hiyeot is a lot more brainy and he's more on the logical side and he's the thinker, the brain of the two, while the while Ki-jin is the brawn, right?
Yeah.
He's the one who... He's the one who beats people down, interrogate them, make sure he gets the answers kind of thing. So those kind of like complementary characters really make the buddy cop movie. And I think that this is like the perfect formula for that.
Right, yeah. I mean, opposites attract, right? And it is a... For even a body cop to even exist, you have to have, like, good characters, like, good chemistry between characters. But like you said, they also good duality and good identities for either of them, you know? Yeah. Definitely don't want to have, like, the same
character like, think twice. About, like, Bad Boys or Men in Black or, you know.
Right, right.
Things like that.
I mean, I instantly go to a Rush Hour.
Yeah, Rush Hour. Yeah, obviously Rush Hour.
So, and, yeah, this one... They have a really good chemistry. They really complement each other. There's just a lot of good moments that they kind of share. And, like, you also never feel excluded out of their friendship either. We kind of know their dynamic and are in with, like, their jokes.
But also, like, we see them come together as friends, right?
Right.
Because in the beginning, they're not really friends.
Right.
It's only once they kind of go through that ordeal together on the mountain, right?
I love that scene where he's like... I gave you my sausages. He's like, sausages.
I'll buy you steak.
And he's like, who he's like, best marbling. Hop on. Okay, fine. Yeah.
What I like my favorite part was when Hiyeot is I think he's getting like measured or something like that.
Oh yeah, the uniform.
And then Ki-jin is like, you know, he's like saying like dumbass or whatever.
He's like.
the glasses. Such a good way.
I love how the other student, Young Jun, he's always like, he's always in the frame, but like in a corner of a frame. He's always in the scene, but like out there. He's just like looking behind, watching their action. Like, look forward. He's like, oh, my bad. So sorry. There's a lot of good stuff in the academy. I like probably my favorite of the comedy bits are the martial arts bits in the class.
You know that martial arts instructor always comes out as a comedic like martial artist. Dude.
Really?
Yeah. There's so many like.
Yikes.
There's like a drama too where like he comes out as like this like master of like a certain like martial arts or whatever, but he's kind of like a phony.
Yeah.
But then he actually like ends up helping the dude like.
kicking some ass,
yeah.
Yikes. And he's like, if somebody comes at you with a knife, he's like, slowly. He's like, slowly!
Yeah.
Semicircle around.
Yeah! Yeah, that was funny.
Just gold. And then, like, it comes back later, and he, like, actually uses
it. Actually
he, like, kicks that guy's ass. He's like, oh, it works! You gotta use it! He's like, use what you learn. And he's like doing the handcuff moves as he's going down. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
What I like about the movie, too, is how they incorporated the comedy, but they didn't make it so that the comedy like overwhelmed the dramatic parts of the movie.
Right.
And I think that's like a hard thing to do, mm-hmm. where it's like when it is a really serious moment, like how to make sure that it doesn't conflict with each other, but you are able to use the comedy to alleviate some of that seriousness later on.
Right.
Because like a lot of times when the serious things happen, like it's serious, right? Mm-hmm. And then like maybe like near the end, when everything kind of like dies down a little bit, they add a little bit of it. But usually the comedic bits are kind of separate from the dramatic parts of the movie. And I think that's a pretty like, it's a hard thing to do, right? It's like a hard balance, but I think mm-hmm. they did really well in that respect.
Agreed. I mean, you can really notice, and like, I mean, one of the biggest things I noticed too is like, the first half of the movie is pretty much like buddy cop comedy. And then once the kidnapping happens and they're getting into it is when the tone starts to shift, you know? And there's like a bit, and there's a really good, I think I have to really applaud this movie for being greatly progressive in tone, because I mean at that moment once they're starting to investigate this girl's kidnapping, there's a little bit of like seriousness and some comedy thrown in, but it's like, you know, they're just kind of starting, there's like very really frantic, you know, trying to like apply the knowledge that they know, but like they're still like kind of everywhere, right? They're not, they're starting to get invested, but they're not like in the hole per se, right? And like there's a specific scene that I noticed is like a really great turning point. So they go back to, they're looking for the tabuki, and then they find the lady that sold it to her, and then they find out where she works, and then they go to like that ear parlor place that's illegal, you know, and like that's comedy. And from there they find out her address through the coworker, and then they go to the house and they find that one guy, and he like runs away from them thinking that they're like chasing after him.
Yeah.
And then that's when like the fight thing comes back around.
Right.
And then they duct tape him to the wall.
Yeah.
But from there they go back to the apartment because there's like two other girls that live there. And that's when they find out like, oh, she's a runaway. And then like all the other kids that are living there are runaways as well. But like that was a scene when they're talking to those girls and they like break down after finding out that that the girl is missing, Jiho. Like that was a really scene that shifts the tone, I think, and like from there on out it becomes really serious, pretty much. It becomes like really dramatic as they get like deeper and deeper into everything. Because after that they find out who the broker is, the one that they sold off to.
Yeah.
And then they go to the restaurant and
they're also after the point when after they get captured and then after they run away from the mob.
Right.
And then they call
the professor,
yeah. And then he goes to the location and they like start talking and he's like, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And that after that moment, it also kind of like they reaffirm their like, you know, desire to like,
we're going to find it. We're the only one that can do this.
And that's when it kind of gets a little bit like more serious in tone.
Right.
In terms of like how resolved they are to it.
It's a different, it's like not like dark drama, but it becomes more like Rocky.
Yeah, serious. Right.
Yeah. And then it kind of just becomes an action movie by the end of that, right? Because they're like prepping and then they go to then they find out that they have like the fertility center and then they track them down to do that. So, but all that is a different, just like a different genre compared to, you know, the comedy that we were watching beforehand.
Right.
So
they like sprinkle in like little bits and pieces of it, like when they're fighting the big baddie.
Right.
And then at the end, then they're like doing the handcuffs and stuff like that. They add a little bit of it, but then overall, I think it's very fairly, you know, straightforward.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's balanced pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think that from how we started to how we kind of get there, that progressiveness really does happen pretty seamlessly and really good. And by the end of the movie, like I do feel emotional. You know, they save the girl and then there's like that last little end credit scene and everything. And I think you don't have an emotional response to that if you don't have, you know, the dark drama, the everything else that happens afterward, you know.
It's like the moment she cries is like, oh yeah, man,
I'm gonna cry. Right? Son of a gun.
And then you just kind of like realize like just how much like they went through and everything.
Yeah, we made the right choice.
Yeah,
so they went from boys to men.
I like the message of the movie as well, right? It's a lot of just like the bureaucracy of like policing,
right,
and just like all the things that you kind of have to like go through, which I think in one sense like you kind of need like structure and order,
right?
But then it's also like if something is happening, like, you know, like, and you can take it's care happening. Of it,
yeah.
You know what I mean, that kind of thing. And I think they kind of had a very good, not like an over like overarching kind of like, it didn't feel like forced, right? It just kind of felt like it's part of story, which I liked.
Yeah,
it's not like, oh, like, yeah, see how bad the police are, like,
right,
you know, see how like, see how
corrupt this is,
or like how bad they're doing. It's not, it wasn't right, like that, but it was actually very invested in the story that they wanted to tell, but also having, you know, that kind of message.
Right. I mean, it was a driving force for like them as well. It's, you know, they're constantly being reminded. I mean, they're constantly being held at a standstill because, you know, because the real police, like the real investigation units, are backordered and can't do it at the moment, you know, and it's because of that, it's forcing them to take action, you know, now versus waiting in the back burner for
later. Pushing them forward.
Right. And so it doesn't feel forced at all, but it's like within the story and like it's a driving force. And we're constantly being reminded, like, kind of both sides of like it's just kind of a big predicament where, you know, they're being taught like, oh, they have the most important 7 hours is all you have for the critical hours, they call it, right? And then meanwhile time is being wasted and they're doing their investigation. It's like, oh no, but the other special investigations unit won't be able to do it for like a month. And they're like, a month?
Yeah,
what do you mean? You have like 2 hours a month, you know?
But I also like the arc of the characters' motivations, because when they're in the academy, like, they talk to each other and they're like, oh yeah, because the other friend, I forget his name, but the guy who they steal the clothes from, he's like, oh yeah, my father's like a chief, and like, you know, I've always wanted to become a police policeman. But like, they're like, oh yeah, like, I didn't have any money, so like, I came into the academy. And the other guy's like, yeah, kind of messed up by accident, I came here.
That is so funny. He's like, so why'd you come here? And he's like, where did you go to high school? And he's like, the
best, like, science.
Yeah, yeah, science, prestigious high school. Yeah. And he's like, why didn't you go to KAIST, which is like the MIT, apparently, of Korea. And he's like, oh, I just wanted to do something different. All my friends went to KAIST. And he's like, so you came here?
Yeah. But I like the fact that, like, by the, like, almost midpoint when they start, like, going heavy on the training.
Right.
Like, it's the events that occurred to that point that motivates them and that actually gives them the like, desire to become policemen.
Right.
And that's what fuels them towards the end. And then, you know, after everything and, like, they're getting reprimanded and, and, you know, they say, like, yeah, I really want to become a cop. Like, I really want to become a policeman. Like, you really believe them at that moment because of all the things that they went through. And that motivation really feels genuine.
Yeah.
And I really like that arc of, like, them not really having or, like, being lost in their motivations of like, being in the force. Because even when they go looking for the girls, right? Like, go hunting for girls.
Yeah.
After that, like, you know, they're, like, sitting in the whatever, the restaurant, and they're like, oh man, why are we why am I wasting my time, like, trying to become a cop? Like, that was a pivotal point, I think, of, like, their internal dilemma,
right
of, like, of their motivations and why they want to become a cop.
Right.
I think they use that, like, that club scene really well to deliver that in a very, like, quick but efficient way, you know?
Yeah. And engaging way.
Right, and that's, like, what you were talking about in terms of, like, being a tight script.
Mm-hmm.
Like, using those moments, not just for... Because they're, like, killing, like, three birds with one stone.
Yeah,
they're,
yeah.
they're fitting the comedy in it, they're fitting the internal motivations, and they're setting up the moment for when the girl gets captured.
Yep.
So all three of those things are being, you know, captured, condensed in that one scene leading to the next scene. So like it's really an efficient but also a very like good way of and it feels natural of them pushing forward the story.
Yeah. That's why, you know, like going back again to like that first half hour, like all of that is mainly within the academy up until they go to the club and stuff. But it's like the beginning part, like the first 10 minutes, right? It's like, who are our characters? And we're setting up their friendship. And now we're invested into both of them, you know, and like then they become friends. And then there's a time skip 2 years later because they get accepted into the academy. And they're 2 years in. And then, you know, we're kind of like watching their lives go by and
their daily routine.
Right? Yeah. And that all is essentially fuel to like after the cup where they're like, well, what are we even doing with our lives? You know what I mean? It's because they're just there, they're doing it. And then they're like, well, what is it that they want to do? They just want to, you know, meet a girl is at the end, you know?
Mm.
And it all just kind of like tumbles very nicely into that. It's like, oh, we've spent 2 years in the academy doing what exactly? Right. And like you said, then it's a really good arc that they start with like no purpose, no passion for what they're doing, and then they become like a real drive to become policemen through practice.
through the physical, like literal, like
through like actually doing it. Yeah,
like field work.
They're basically like vigilantes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
and then they don like the costumes. I like they come back for the equipment, they're like, oh my god, we made a big mistake, we gotta return these.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot to be said by just how good and like how tight the script is. It really just does.
There's like one thing that it's not really a plot hole per se, but it just kind of like felt weird was like when they finally get to the place where all the girls are like taken, like that like shady apartment looking place.
Yeah, they're in their rooms.
Yeah, and then they find that one girl. Like he breaks the door of the one girl.
Right.
They start like try to take her out, but then they like get blocked.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Kijun has the girl, and he takes them to like a little like alley like corner.
Yeah.
She just leaves them there.
Are there.
He brings them. He goes back. And then later on, they get captured, and the girls just stare forever. I'm assuming that like the bad guys took her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it just kind of felt weird. Like he just leaves her there. He's like, "Yeah, I gotta go back. Sorry, girl.
Yeah, my bad. You stay here." She's like knocked out cold.
But I would think like you would hide her somewhere. Or, like...
Right. Actually, I kind of found that a little weird as well because I always forget that they actually attempt to save the girl. Yeah. You know, I feel like it just would have went smoother if they couldn't open the doors.
Yeah.
Right? Because the gang is like right behind them anyway.
Yeah, I think it was just to kind of give that shock effect of like what they did to the girls and stuff like that. But it just kind of felt funny that he just left her in an alley and then went back to the guy.
I was so close.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like he gets the girl and then he's like, run away, like take her to the hospital. And you get like that faint thing of hope. And it's like,
but the thing is like they escape, right? They escape from the place. And I would assume, like,
after the
they would check, like go to the alleyway and, like, see if the girl's there or something. Like, I don't know, like, after whatever, right?
Well, they were being chased. They didn't escape cleanly.
Well, I mean, after they go to the cop place, right? Like
they do check.
They don't check.
Yeah.
Well, they check the...
thing, but not the alley.
Yeah,
well,
not the...
Well, now this is semantics.
Well, I mean, but you left her there, literally.
Wait, there's this one girl... that they probably don't know about because she's not here. I left her over there.
Anyways, it just kind of felt funny, like just like that whole thing. It's like you said, maybe if they just left like where they weren't able to open the doors,
right,
it might have worked a little bit better. But I don't know. It's not a big deal, but it just kind of felt like the point A to point B from that moment. It just kind of felt like
you
could have added just like a something there. Not a big deal, but it just kind of felt weird.
You both got beaten up in that scene anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. No, it didn't
I mean, like, the
anything.
Assumption is that, like, they just took her back, right?
Right, yeah. But I don't know, yeah. Doing too much, maybe.
Yeah.
In that sense. Other than that, anything else to add? I mean, solid recommendation. Again, like, I would definitely say for anybody to watch this, like, easily.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very typical buddy cop film, I think.
Yes.
More, yeah.
I think that's why I say I feel like, I mean, it's so enjoyable. It's such a good, like, such a good buddy cop movie. It's such a good movie on its own. That's all, like, man, I feel like we put the bar too high, because I just love this movie personally, so... Mm. Anything else, I'm like, but it's not Midnight Runners. We don't have those two characters. It's not going to be funny anymore.
Yeah. That's a good movie. It's.
I'm glad they did enough franchise the hell out of this movie.
And they will.
No. They tried and it failed. They did that one drama. It didn't get them nowhere. Mm. So, yeah. As for the week ahead, what are we watching? We are watching Veteran.
Yes.
For week two. Directed by Ryu Sung-wong. Came out in 2015.
I have watched this movie, but I'll be honest, I'm not quite... I'm like drawing a blank if it is a buddy cop or not.
Oh, God dang it.
It might just be one dude.
Wow.
But
we got bamboozled, everybody.
I think Ma Dong-seok comes out in this too. But I think he's a cameo.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly.
He's not playing.
It's been a while since I watched this movie, but
I have never watched the movie, so I have no input at all.
It's not a buddy cop movie, I'm really sorry.
Yikes. Yikes. We started off so strong.
Maybe we should do this third week and let it all check. We'll come back
around that.
It's a cop movie. I just don't remember if it was a buddy cop movie.
It's a cop movie. It qualifies, right? Right. It's a cop as a team, right? Man. That was like thinking about like the Outlaws. Do you think the Outlaws is a buddy cop movie?
Who's the buddies?
All of them.
It's just a model.
It's just not.
Well, it's more like a... I wouldn't say it's a buddy cop because...
It's a team effort.
Yeah. I think maybe the second one, Outlaws 2,
yeah,
might be a little bit more of a buddy cop movie.
Because it's more of him and the chief, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Because they go to... where do they go?
Vietnam.
Yeah, Vietnam.
Yeah.
And there, it's a little bit more like a, you know, them two.
Right. But that's only like that first half. Because once they go back to Korea, then it's...
Well,
like...
now you're nitpicking. Well... It happened, though.
It's true.
You can't say it didn't.
I know. You're kind of right. They have a good, you know, back and forth in the Vietnam.
But, yeah, I wouldn't call it Outlaws, like...
Have you seen... I don't know if I thought about this when we were making this series. That one movie where it's, like, they're, like, an investigation unit, but then they go undercover to, like, stake out this gang, but then they run a chicken shop.
Extreme job. That's not a buddy cop, though. Because it's like
too many buddies.
It's too many buddies, yeah. That's like a whole crowd.
But it's like an ensemble. Is that like a sub genre, like ensemble cop?
I think it's like a variation of it, right? It's like sure. Oh yeah, it's a buddy cop. Why not just add more people and make it even more jolly, you know?
One is a party.
It's kind of like a variation of a heist movie, I think. More or less.
Kind of.
Because, like, what they do is, like, they're trying to infiltrate this, like...
Yeah.
You know, gang or whatever, right?
Right.
So it's more of, like... Because they have, like, specialists, right? They have, like, different people who are good at different jobs. And they're all, like, work together to, you know, infiltrate.
It's like a... Or like a spy... Like a variation of a spy movie a bit.
Yeah. Kind of like a mixture of that.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm coming up with more series ideas as we speak. Mm. All right. Yeah. Well, let's just hope that Veteran is a...
If it isn't, at least it's still a good movie, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I will tell you those thoughts later, all right? Yeah. So that'll be that for Midnight Runners. Next week will be Veteran. From 2015. I'm not really sure if that's available anywhere, but good luck, I guess. Other than that, quick shout out to our Patreon page. If you want to watch it on a Monday versus a Friday, come and subscribe early. and you get those episodes early, as well as some other goodies. Maybe talking about a movie pretty soon, some extra stuff. Other than that, we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Bye.